Chapter 2. Maybe it was the good night's rest, or maybe we were still on a popularity high from the night before, but we were unbeatable on the ice the next day. Ryan and I combined for 5 points and skated circles around our opponents. Everything would have been perfect if Neil and Justin hadn't quartered us after the game. We were just coming out of the dressing room when they stepped out from behind the bleachers and blocked our path. "That was quite the game you two had," said Neil. "Thanks," said Ryan. "Rather coincidental, isn't it?" asked Justin. I glanced sideways, suddenly remembering the shadows in the doorway the night before. "I don't get it," I said. "Yeah," drawled Neil. "I think you do." I shifted nervously as Neil stared at Ryan. "What is it, Davis? Hard stuff?" I jumped in before Ryan could answer. "No, no, nothing like that." Ryan watched me carefully. "I mean, it's nothing illegal or anything. Well, not illegal like illegal illegal." I struggled for the right words. "What I mean is that it's all right. Usually. But, well, it's probably not all right with Knowles or anything." Justin looked confused. "Performance enhancing," whispered Ryan. "But it's not illegal?" I shook my head. After all, that was the truth. How could I tell Justin and Neil the real story with Ryan standing beside me? Justin dug into his back pocket for his wallet. "Then I want in," he said decisively. "Me too," said Neil, digging out his money. I scratched my head. "Well, I'm not sure if that's possible." Neil leaned forward. "Come on, Switzen. We want in." A wave of panic swept over me, and Ryan shuffled nervously beside me. "Maybe Angie can get a little extra," I muttered, swallowing hard. "Look, I'll try, but I can't promise anything." Justin and Neil shoved the money toward me. "Try hard," muttered Justin. After they'd left, I studied Ryan. I debated about telling him the whole truth right then and there, but before I could open my mouth, Mr. Davis arrived to congratulate us, and I stayed silent. And so it had started, just Ryan and me. Then just Ryan, Justin, Neil, and me. Then just Ryan, Justin, Neil, Jordy, Theo, and me. Then just Ryan, Justin, Neil, Jordy, Theo, Pete, Adrian, and me. Then just Ryan, Justin, Neil, Jordy, Theo, Pete, Adrian, Scott, Dave, Jared, and me. Then somehow the word got round to the rest of the team. It wasn't all that surprising. The Falcons were a pretty close-knit bunch. The incredible thing was that the guys played like champions after a dose of sinus minus. By the end of November, we were in first place, and Coach Knowles was ecstatic. The whole team was ecstatic, except for me. I contemplated the pros and cons. First, the pros. The team had never played better hockey. If we kept this up, we'd be city champs. Besides that, I was getting to be rather well off. I hummed the jingle. "So throw away your shyness and have a healthy sinus, minus the cold." Maybe there was something to those claims after all. Ever since Pete's party, Valerie had seemed friendlier, and none of the guys had come down with colds since sinus minus had become a pregame ritual. Still, that whole ritual was one of the cons. At first, the guys had stopped by the house to pick up their stuff the night before the games. I'd figured it was wiser than going anywhere with a stash of little bags filled with fine white powder. That was before Lise got suspicious, and before she tried to sell the guys Revivites as the perfect Christmas present for their mothers, sisters, and girlfriends. Then I decided to do up weekly packages, and Pete had suggested we set up the weekly pizza meetings as a distribution point. We'd have a quick bite, discuss the upcoming games, and everybody would go home with their weekly quota. The leftover money on the table was mine, of course, even though I almost always sprang for the pizza. Maybe guilt was wearing me down after all. Then there was the whole hassle of securing enough sinus minus for 16 guys every week. The cashiers in 7 different drugstores knew me by name. Even disposing of those ominous green-nosed boxes had become a problem. And of course, there was the whole question of having hooked the entire hockey team on a drug, albeit a legal over-the-counter drug. I was especially worried about Ryan, but he just showed up for his stuff like everyone else and took it home. So far, none of the parents had discovered the guy's stashes, but that was always a possibility. As well, there was constant fear that one of the guys would recognize it one day and question of how it would all end. It was no wonder that I found myself staring at the ceiling most nights. In fact, the only nights I didn't study the stucco on the ceiling were the ones before our hockey games, and that was all thanks to those shiny foil packets of sinus minus. I suspected they didn't really have any magical qualities, but I did know that they knocked me out and anything was worth a good night's rest. Besides, I was having a fantastic season, 3 goals, 6 assists, and a plus-minus average of 2 in the last 7 games. Nobody had really noticed, though. They'd been too busy watching Ryan's stats soar to 8 goals, 9 assists, and a plus-minus average of 6. Still, I didn't mind. I knew Ryan would have given just about anything to play professional hockey. But it wasn't just me and Ryan who were flying. The whole team was skating faster, shooting harder, and stick-handling better than we ever had before. According to Coach Knowles, we had a good chance of winning the Christmas tournament, and that meant a shot at the city title. The Falcons were flying, and not just on the ice. Being on a winning team was starting to do wonders for our popularity. Despite our parents' protests, we wore our Falcons coats all the time, regardless of the temperature. Even the guys who didn't play hockey knew who we were, not to mention the girls. It was the talk of our weekly meetings, and even Carl, who wasn't exactly a ladies' man, had to admit that we were hot news when someone drew a huge heart on the school's doors with Falcons in the middle. The principal wasn't impressed, but the fact that it was done with lipstick sure impressed us. There was no doubt about it, we were definitely making a name for ourselves. Ever since Pete's party, I'd found Valerie's name running through my head more often than not, and I got the impression that she'd been thinking about me, too. I seemed to run into her in the halls a lot more lately, and she always smiled in my direction when I did see her. But as I was usually in the midst of the team, and she was usually surrounded by friends, we didn't do much more than smile at each other. Still, it was a start. If I could just see her alone sometime, long enough to talk to her, I complained to Ryan, then I could make an impression on her, maybe even ask her out. Ryan laughed. Asked her out? To where? A hockey game? I thought about that as Ryan pulled open the arena doors. Between practices, games, weekly meetings, and exams, I didn't have a whole lot of free time. I could ask her to the Christmas dance. The dance was coming up in a few weeks' time, and some of the guys already had dates. Yeah, right. Ryan swung his hockey bag through the second set of doors and held the door with his foot. She'd have to run you over before you'd ask her out. I followed Ryan into the arena. He'd obviously seen me in action with the opposite sex before. The lobby was empty. Dad had dropped us off early. We headed toward the office to check out the dressing room assignments. It's just so hard to talk to her when she's with all these girls. If I had a class with her or could arrange to see her on her own sometime, then I'd do it. Wowee! Ryan was staring out into the ice where a group of girls dressed in matching gold skating suits and tight black bodysuits were lined up across the arena, their arms linked behind each other's backs. Music started and the girls began to move in perfect unison. There must have been 20 of them, but they all managed to do the same thing at the same time, going in circles, crisscrossing between lines and covering the entire ice surface in groups of 5, 10, 15, or even 20. Ryan and I watched in amazement until the program was done. They're pretty good, I said. The door swung open and the Zamboni puffed out a cloud of smoke as the girls skated off the ice. Grinned Ryan. What dressing room did you say we were in? I dare you. I could just imagine Ryan strolling into a dressing room with 20 girls changing. He swung his hockey bag over his shoulder. Never dare a Davis, he advised me as we climbed through the bleachers in the directions of the dressing rooms. You're all talk. I jumped down into the corridor behind Ryan. We paused in front of dressing room number 3, listening to the blur of female voices behind it. Well, I said, it could be an honest mistake. We had number 3 last time. You first. I'll be right behind. Valerie, I stammered as the door burst open and Valerie rushed out and ran right into me. Joel, Ryan, Joel, she exclaimed, looking from me to Ryan and back to me again. She still wore her black bodysuit, but she had pulled on a pair of jeans over top. She stood clutching her skating bag while I stared. Her long hair had been swept up on top of her head in some sort of braid. Her eyes were blackened heavily with mascara, her cheeks a deep maroon and her lips a furious scarlet. The girls at school wore makeup, but not like this. Her hand went to her face. It was a dress rehearsal, she explained. It's all part of the costume, she chewed on her scarlet lips. Mom's waiting. Gotta go. She brushed past me. Well done, sport, Ryan said cynically as soon as Valerie was out of sight. I'd say you charmed her, all right. He exploded into laughter and pulled the door of dressing room number 4 open. I followed him in and threw my bag down under the bench. Aw, come on, Rye, what was I supposed to do? Her looking like some... Hey, guys, you two know the place is swarming with females? Alex was standing in the doorway with Pete. Members of some synchronized skating team, added Pete. Yeah, we know, Ryan said, raising his eyebrows at me. Joel's just been asking one of them out. I threw an elbow pat at him as a bunch of the guys came barging in with the news. I pulled on my gear silently and thought of Valerie. I could have at least managed a hello or something. Every guy that came through the door had something new to add, and by the time Coach Knowles arrived, the guys were buzzing. I take it you ran into the synchronized skating team, he queried, smiling. Did we ever, said Ryan, throwing my elbow pad back at me. Coach Knowles looked questioningly in my direction. Well, how would you guys like to run into them a few more times? The guys erupted into hoots and hollers. Knowles raised his hand for silence. The Minor Hockey Association has asked us if we'd play an exhibition fundraiser. They're trying to raise money for the new Say No to Drugs campaign. I fidgeted. You all know how strongly I feel about banned substances, especially banned substances in sports, and obviously they do too. I squirmed in my equipment. So they approached me to see if we'd be interested in playing an exhibition game against some old-timers. He paused. Old-timers led by Phil Kiefler. I gulped, and a couple of the guys burst into exclamations. Phil Kiefler was an ex-NHLer who lived here now. He'd been a star in his day, although that had been a while ago. He's put together a team of guys who used to play pretty good hockey. They're not all pros, and some of them haven't skated for a while, but they're keen to take on a bunch of youngsters with potential. He grinned at us. They're going to bill it as youth versus experience. I think it would be a good opportunity, and it's for a worthy cause. His gaze traveled around the room. The game would just be one part of a weekend skating showcase, Knowles explained. Some of the novice figure skating champions will do solos, and the synchronized skating team you saw here tonight will perform as well. They skate for the provincial title next weekend. I stared wide-eyed. Valerie had never even mentioned her skating before. Then again, I hardly knew her. The weekend's slated for late February, so with a little luck, we might also be gearing up for a city championship title. He rubbed his hands together. Most of the proceeds from the weekend will go to the Say No campaign, but we can also keep a percentage for the team, and I'm hoping it will cover some of the airfare costs. Our heads snapped up, but nobody asked the obvious. We've been invited to the Western U.S. Invitational in Denver at Easter time. No sooner were the words out of his mouth than the guys were leaping and high-fiving all over the dressing room. We'd been invited to out-of-town tournaments before, but never like this. The Denver tournament was pretty prestigious. Most of the junior teams and even some of the professional teams had scouts there. I looked at Ryan, who had obviously made the realization about the same time I had. He was sitting against the wall with a dreamy look in his eyes. Coach Knowles whistled, and we were back into our seats. There are still lots of details to be worked out, he admitted, and money's still going to be an issue, but once we get down there, you'd be billeted, and it shouldn't be too costly. He paused. I've called a parent meeting for next Monday. We'll know more then. He looked around the room, a slow smile crossing his lips. Now get out there and warm up.